Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are on the road. It is beautiful as I'm staring at downtown Kansas City. The Chiefs Radio Network, sister station KFOR, of course, a proud affiliate of the Chiefs. There is a lot of Mahomes love going on. I saw, 4,000 cereal boxes with Mahomes on the on the front of it, but great to have you in on a Friday. We are at the Chiefs Summit, the 7th annual Chiefs Summit. We'll be headed down to Arrowhead tomorrow for preseason football, and that means your former Husker quarterback, Zach Taylor, wearing the headset for his first time as a head coach. That'll be really cool with Cincinnati coming to Kansas City. Stanley Morgan has turned some heads this week in Cincinnati preseason camp. Seathan Carter trying to follow up a successful first season. I know he got dinged, but a lot of Husker flavor to it in Kansas City. So we're down here for it. A lot of thoughts with Nebraska football as the first week of fall camp has wound down. And we'll get caught up. We're recruiting with Greg Smith in the 5 o'clock hour. The Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, NBC Sports at ESPN Sports with us at 5:05. And we'll head to the desert. Just, you know somebody that's crazy enough to bet preseason football, don't you? Maybe that's you. Forgive the term crazy. But Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, will have some baseball tips for the weekend and some NFL preseason spread numbers for you. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And don't be afraid to give us a shout on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio. And, of course, Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. Colton, brother, I'm fired up, man. I'm on the road. You're a yeoman, my friend. You're back in studio. And, listen, I'm down here in Kansas City. You and I will be rocking the weekend edition tomorrow morning as well. And NFL football's alive and well. Mm-hmm. Husker football's alive and well. And good news from Coach Frost. There was a JoJo Doman sighting today. That's got to make him feel pretty good. What's your Friday been like, man?
More of the same. Just getting like everything ready. But I going through like what Frost had to say, of course, we're going to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sounds pretty fired up. You know, it's only been a week, and he didn't get to see anything they did in the summer, so he's kind of fresh to some of, you know, the new look of some of these guys. But I mean, he sounds pretty fired up, and it sounds like, you know, they're ahead of schedule, but it sounds like an exciting time for Husker football.
It is, and this time is, you know, everyone's undefeated. There's lots of optimism, and rightfully so. You look at this Nebraska program and the strides that have been made. Noticeable, right, in the weight room, the strides that have been made attitude wise that is very key when it comes to competing and beating, right? The Iowas, the Wisconsins, the Northwesterns, let's just say the West, except for Illinois. Watch Illinois sting people this year, right? we're just looking past them. But no, it is so evident that Nebraska is feeling some pretty good vibes, and Scott Frost after practice today. So here's a little backdrop and background on JoJo Doman, and he had been rehabbing back in Colorado, an undisclosed injury. I'm thinking that undisclosed injury, from what I have been told, maybe was just kind of a growing issue. And you know how temperamental the growing issues can be, especially if you're a dude his size trying to go 15 different directions. You got to be careful with it, similar to a hamstring, right? So that's not gospel. That's not from Frost, but I feel pretty comfortable saying that's what I've heard, that it was a growing issue, and there you go. So JoJo's ready to go. He is big time, and more to the point, you're going to need someone to get nasty off the edge for Nebraska. Great info from Mitch Holtis today, as he was just awesome. You know, the play-by-play man for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll have plenty of thoughts from Mitch and his take on Kansas City. That's a lot of parallels between Nebraska and Kansas City this year when it comes to excitement level. Let's out, without further ado, let's get you some info, though, from Scott Frost. And here is Frosty Colton. Let's hear Frost kind of break down JoJo Doman's return here on Hail Varsity Radio.
Yeah, JoJo is back with us, did some things today. We didn't have him in the 110 originally because he wasn't ready to go yet. And he had a good feeling about being home for a couple more days just to continue the rehab work he'd been doing when he was home. So as long as he wasn't in the 110, I couldn't make him be here. And we kind of picked a date when we both felt like he was going to be ready, and he came back when he was supposed to, and now he's back part of the team. So everything looks good from that standpoint, and I don't expect to be long with him.
That is good news, and you get JoJo Doman back. You anticipate Jakeem Green finding his way to campus and being part of that 110, or the expanded roster, I should say. What's his role going to be this year? But this is Coach Frost discussing linebackers. This is Coach Frost circling a position of need and not calling out, but just letting them know, and you know, just what's happening with the outside linebackers. Here's Coach Frost.
I've been pleased with our linebackers. Outside backers, I think Alex Davis has made vast improvement. Caleb Tanner looks faster, looks better. Anxious to get JoJo in that mix. Ferg's been doing really good things, and Derek Nelson's been making plays, particularly yesterday. He really had a good day. And there's some other guys that young guys that I think have a chance. So overall, I think that group has improved, and we need to keep pushing.
So improved, but keep pushing. You got the, I don't know, Colton, can we call it gold star? But good. Ferguson's been doing good things. JoJo needs to be a difference maker. Caleb Tanner is SEC talent, right? That is a guy that maybe can take a step forward and play faster. We spent some time talking about Caleb Tanner off the edge yesterday. Alex Davis. We'll hear from Frost on Alex Davis in just a second. But where are you at, Colton, with Alex Davis? He's been the all-off-the-bus team dude. He's also been a guy that's had really good spring games, the last two spring games. And what I remember about Alex Davis is him trying to cover a running back out of Wisconsin on a wheel route in the Diaco defense. You've got a guy in Alex Davis that is lean, quick twitch, and all sorts of problems off the edge with his size, his speed, his athleticism. You have to wonder, and we'll someday talk with Alex Davis, from a confidence level, just what's been going through his mind career-wise at Nebraska when you have a new coordinator and a new position coach, it feels like every year. And then if your strength is pass rushing, and I know you're asked to do a lot of different things in the 3-4 as an outside linebacker, specifically cover those running backs or tight ends, that's not fun. That's not putting a guy in position to succeed. Is, hey, get on Cephas, or get on one of the Wisconsin James White type prototypes, mm-hmm. and cover him down the sideline. That doesn't work. Alex is athletic enough and fast enough to maybe go step for step for somebody, but where he's going to be at his best is putting his ears back, as Coach McBride would say, and flying off the edge. You hope to see that happen if you're a Nebraska fan. I think it can happen because this guy's – it's senior time, man. It's senior year. And Alex Davis is a guy that you've been waiting – for to pop for a long time. I think it can happen. I think he's been a good teammate. I think he's been a hard worker. You love the physicality and the athleticism he's got. Now, can he transfer it to the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where, you know, based on what Frost said, yes, I wouldn't say quite gold star, maybe a thumbs up to the linebackers.
Well, like doing good things. That's
yeah,
better
right.
than what the hell's going on.
Exactly. So, and like we said, going into camp, you know who the guys are, and the middle linebackers are pretty solid. As long as Mo Berry's healthy, you're fine there probably. But, yeah, the outside linebackers, it's kind of like, what do you have that's experience? And, yeah, JoJo's got to be a difference maker. Tyron Ferguson's got to stay healthy. But Alex Davis could be that difference maker if he can put in, well-earned reps and hard-working reps, because those guys are eventually going to need breaks. And Alex Davis is an athletic specimen if he can, get the defense nailed down. And I think he knows the defense well. It's just a matter of, making the play in the right position.
Well, and I think Coach Tuioti is going to be nice for him. I think Coach DeWitt being back is helpful. Here is Coach Frost on Alex Davis. You heard Frost kind of run down the outside linebackers. Frost a little more specific here on Alex Davis.
You know, Alex has always had the skill and the gifts to do it. I think for him it was just getting comfortable with the position. He's not a guy that's played football his whole life. I think he was a basketball player growing up. And I think he'd be the first to tell you last year there was times he was in the right place or doing the right thing, but at the moment of truth, he didn't go make the play. And some of that, I think he was thinking a little too much. This year, he seems to be cutting it loose. Looks a lot better in pass rush. So I'm anxious to see what he can do on the field. If he plays the way he's practicing, he's going to have a good year.
Isn't that it, Colton? I mean, you hear it a lot. Guys are practicing better. Guys are understanding better. But can you go make plays? Mm-hmm. And you had instances last year where Nebraska was like right there to make a play in a momentum-changing situation. It's 20-10 at Wisconsin, right? One of the Davis twins has a chance to sack the quarterback. Hornibrook gets away, and it's a third-down conversion. We don't need to dialogue the last 5 minutes against Northwestern, right? Mm-hmm. But defensively, that's where you're wanting to see a jump from Nebraska, be better scoring defense-wise, be better with getting takeaways. Part of that is letting the quarterback, making him, from a secondary standpoint, hold on to the football for about 2 seconds longer or 2/10 of a second longer, or speeding that quarterback up by about a half second or a half count and either knocking him down, getting in his face, be on the periphery. Alex Davis is like that, and it comes down to making plays, confidence, and being able to fly around. Hail Varsity Radio on the road here. We are in Kansas City tonight and tomorrow. The Chiefs Summit is going on, the 7th Annual Chiefs Summit. Mitch Holtis spoke earlier, and was just great to hear from him. We'll have some thoughts on the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. Zach Taylor, Stanley Morgan, and company in town tomorrow for preseason football. We'll be headed to that weekend edition at 7 a.m. tomorrow, also from Kansas City. So we are on the road. Colton Stone back in our studios. Let's get one more thought from Frost, or a couple more thoughts here as we get recapped the first week of fall camp for Nebraska football. Scott Frost here on improvement and fun, right? Improvement and fun. Can that coexist in fall camp as everyone's waiting for August 31st to get here?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd tell you it was great, even if it was great, but I expected it to be better, and it's better. And I said that before, it's a lot better. I don't know what that means, and we're definitely can't stop improving right now. But every position looks better than it did a year ago. The speed of practice looks better than it did a year ago. I'm having a lot of fun coaching this team. Last year there was times it was hard coaching the team last year. This year everybody shows up with a smile on their face. I don't see one person that I don't want to talk to. They're having fun. This is a fun team to coach. So there's just a ton of things that have gotten better. And it's up to us as coaches and the players to make sure that improvement leads to success.
you know what? That's a responsibility Coach Frost takes pretty dearly, and it's their job to make sure it goes well. They want it to go well for their players, for their team. More thoughts from Frost here when it comes to recklessness, but being reckless the right way. When I hear reckless in football and think of it defensively, I think of the old NFL films and Lawrence Taylor, crazed dogs. Maybe you've seen that clip or heard that clip before. Be out of control to maybe scare your opponent, but know what you're doing. Here is Coach Frost on toughness and maybe being just a touch crazy.
You know, it's funny, we've had to have talks two nights in a row about slowing them down because we've been a little too reckless. And it's not everybody, but you know that can lead to injuries on the field. You got to be able to practice like a pro and take care of each other. But I would much rather have a team where I have to say slow down a little bit than one that we're trying to get to go faster. And you know, particularly the guys that are going to be playing, the older guys. We're trying to pull the reins back on a little bit. So I think the toughness and enthusiasm and effort of practice improved drastically as well.
That's Coach Frost. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Hail Varsity continues on the road in Kansas City. Next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Back with you at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. As we are in Kansas City at the Chiefs Summit, I am staring at the largest and tallest building in Kansas City, and I'm on the 17th floor, man, and this is sweet. This is awesome. We are in a gorgeous Hotel Phillips, I think top architecture. We had the old Seinfeld drop there, Vandalay Industries, right? Working his way up in Las Vegas and doing an amazing job is the Pride of Chicago. It is Danny Burke. It is time for Burke's Best Bets, and we might throw a little crazy in for some preseason football. That's why we're down here. Chiefs and Bengals, Zach Taylor, Stanley Morgan, Seathan Carter. Going to be at Arrowhead tomorrow night. Excited to see Zach Taylor. Excited to see Mahomes do his thing for at least a quarter. We say hi to Danny Burke out in Vegas working for Mr. Musburger. Danny, how are you, brother?
I'm good, Schmitty. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. We did a little road trip for today and tomorrow in Kansas City for preseason NFL. So before we get into some NFL thoughts and run down what's going on this weekend, man, you've got to be just locked in on the buzz, because folks can put whatever they want to put down there on some futures with NFL and even some prop bets, some side bets, all of that stuff. You got to be seeing and hearing a ton. And I know you as the Bears fan are taking notes on what the action looks like for your Windy City kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole summer, the big talk of the town has been all the action that the Bears have been receiving. So naturally, every summer, big cities like Chicago, you'll get same thing with Pittsburgh, with New York, with California, because of the proximity to Vegas. A lot of those teams from those cities will receive a lot of the future bets. But abnormally, this year's what they're saying is that the Bears are just bar none getting the most attention. And I think rightfully so. Obviously, that could be a little biased, me being a diehard Bears fan. But everybody saw the year they had last year, unfortunate events with Parkey and the double doink ended the season early. The only thing, a lot of people are low on them because of the loss of Fangio. They think that's going to be detrimental. I think they'll still be okay. They picked up a lot more additions offensively, and Trubisky's only going to get better. And speaking of which, with Trubisky, he received a lot of MVP votes, which was driving everybody just absolutely insane. Former GM Michael Lombardi, he comes on Beast a lot. He actually has a show on there, and he personally liked to meet, I think it was like 18 people or something, who placed a bet on Trubisky. He's like, I personally want to meet these people and just question them. So Trubisky started out at like 300-1, and he got bet down to 50-1 odds last time I checked to win MVP. So that's a little bit craziness with the Windy City teams.
Danny Burke's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We are in Kansas City. Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago. Burke's Best Bets going on. College football season. Danny is alive and well. We'll get into some college here before we go back to NFL. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about Nebraska as one of the it teams for year two coaches. You have second years for Chip Kelly. You have second years for Moorhead down at Mississippi State. You have second years for Dan Mullen. I mean, there's a lot of hype. Second years for Tennessee. But Nebraska is still kind of driving the bus for Buzz, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Nebraska's been a big bet in Vegas as well. I know when they opened early lines games of the year, I think we talked about this a while ago, and they had Ohio State around like a 10-point favorite or something visiting Memorial Stadium, and I just thought that was absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, if I had the means and could get there in time before it moved out, I would have been jumping on that regardless. And I probably am going to throw on it no matter what the number is. I don't know what the updated number is now. I think it's probably around like 6 or 7 last time I checked. But, yeah, Nebraska's getting
minus
a lot of
six.
Buzz. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm like I said before, I'm not that high at all. Not saying that I don't think they're going to be great. I think they will. I just still think Michigan has a little bit upper hand on them. And with the turnover for Ohio State, I still think Nebraska has the advantage considering what happened last year as well. But and then Heisman-wise, Adrian Martinez, he's up there. I don't think there's as much buzz about him. Everyone recognizes him and the special talent he has and his potential that he could have this season. So, and I think you and I have talked about this. I really see it not this year, but next year being his time to make it to New York and be top three. And I think a lot of people realize that too. But I think more and more people are going to understand that this team is the real deal.
Danny Burke's with us, the pride of Chicago, and Burke's Best Bets, Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. So, Danny, let's go back to some NFL, and you've got a couple of preseason games tonight. Steelers hosting Tampa. Bruce Arians, of course, in what's going to happen with the Tampa quarterback situation. Arians has been great with quarterbacks. The Saints and the Vikings. Saints at -3, Steelers at -2. Are you even sniffing this, or do you just sit back and watch the carnage with folks putting money on preseason games?
Well, I can't lie. I definitely indulged into the past few preseason games. Had a little bit of a rough night last night. I think I ended up going like maybe it was 2-3, but I got the Broncos in the first week, so that was good. But no, everyone's loving it. I mean, anytime you can bet football, why not? You got to love it. So it is an interesting matchup. Buccaneers-Steelers, I'm probably staying away from that game. I see Pitt as a 2-point favorite over-under at 37. I'm really just not too much inclined to and have any interest in that game necessarily. If anything, I probably lean with the home team and the Steelers. And then on the other end, an interesting tidbit for the Vikings and the Saints. The Saints are 3-7 straight up and against the spread in their last 10 at home in the preseason. And you know Mike Zimmer, this dude just refuses to lose. He's one of the more profitable coaches in the preseason against the spread. I don't have the exact numbers. So if you're looking to bet that game, that's an interesting thing to remember. But also, I think it's, you know, it'd be foolish to ignore the depth chart that the Saints have at quarterback being Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill and JT Barrett is a fourth string too. So they got some guys with familiar names. So I think it'd be hard to ignore that as well. But those trends stick out too. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm personally going to stay away from tonight's games. I'll maybe dive into a couple tomorrow.
Well, let's talk about tomorrow. You got the Bengals and Chiefs, KC -3.5, Rams at Raiders. The soon-to-be Vegas Raiders, Oaktown at -4.5. And I love the matchups with the Cowboys and 49ers, San Fran -4.5. So give me the three you like tomorrow.
Yeah, so I do like the Bengals a little bit tomorrow, and I know a lot of the guys at the show, I know Brent liked them as well, +3.5 against KC. Zach Taylor getting his first opportunity to coach, and that's what a lot of people like when it comes to handicapping these games. Looking for these first-time coaches in their first game that they're coaching. It doesn't matter that it's preseason. They really just want to make an impact and show what they're made of and pretty much show they're the real deal and they could be a coach. They want to show these fans this. And Brent also made a good point. He said, look to bet teams that need to sell tickets, and the Bengals are one of those teams. If you can get some hype surrounding your organization in the preseason, that'll bode well for at least the beginning of the regular season. And then with the Raiders and Rams, a lot of people like the Raiders, naturally. They're getting the same kind of handle that the Golden Knights get just because of the hometown atmosphere. Gruden's also one of those guys who will refuse to lose a preseason game. So I think for me, it's going to be Raiders or nothing. Sean McVay more about developing than trying to win those games. And then with the Cowboys and 49ers, the Cowboys, for Jason Garrett, they're 1-9 straight up and 2-7-1 against the spread their last 10 on the road for preseason. So for me, the only thing I would probably bet, if I'm going to, it's going to be Bengals plus 3.5 and then maybe a parlay. Probably I'll end up doing the parlay with Raiders money line and 49ers money line.
Well done. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets, Hail Varsity Radio. Danny out in Vegas. You know what? That's brilliant by Musburger. I mean, just, dude, let's sauce it up. Let's check it out. And, of course, I think you saw, we can't repeat it because we're, you know, we're family sometimes. what Chucky was saying on social media about creating nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy just wants to put 100.5 on everybody.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see it. Did you watch the whole first episode?
I did not. I just saw the little clip about him scream in his own way, screaming at his guys, firing up his team, saying, I'm into creating nightmares, you know? F-bomb, 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 F-bomb. But it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. It makes you want to run through a wall.
Well, Danny Burke's got the eye black on. Okay, give us what you're leaning towards for baseball about 3 minutes before we get out of here, Danny. Thanks for squeezing us in. What do you like with Major League Baseball this weekend?
So I haven't really had a chance to look at this upcoming weekend's line, to be honest, but tonight I am on one play, and that is the Cardinals against the Pirates. So this is just going to probably end up being a really sloppy game all around. The Cardinals just got pounced by the A's and the Dodgers on their little road stand. The Pirates, I think, maybe only have, I saw the trend, I can't remember, but it's maybe they've lost 21 out of 25 since the All-Star break, something atrocious like that. And speaking of atrocious, Chris Archer's on the mound for the Pirates. He's just been awful as of lately, too. And Dakota Hudson, he's at home. He's on the mound for the Cardinals. And Cardinals are laying about minus -140. I got him at -135. So I like the Cardinals to bounce back and get a win at home today. They probably won't be pretty, but that's who I like. As for the weekend, just interesting series to look out for. The Twins and Indians, that'll be an interesting division race right there. The Twins one game ahead. The Indians won last night. That'll be a fun one to watch for the rest of the weekend.
Well, in the last 10, the New York Mets are 9-1. They've won 6 straight. Have you loaded up there on Mr. Met?
I actually have not, but I was looking at them today because it's going to be Marcus Stroman's first game pitching at Citi Field in New York. But the only thing is they're going against Steven Strasburg, and this dude has just been lights out. 14-5, 3.72 ERA. He's just been hard to hit for whoever he's facing. And on the road, he's got a 1.17 whip, 3.94 ERA. And against the Mets, he's got a 1.02 whip and a 2.75 ERA. Now, I know the Mets are hot, but those numbers are just too much for me to trust the Mets with, despite them being on this hot streak. They could revert easily to their normal ways that we saw before the All-Star break. So that was a lean I had, but I'm ultimately staying away. But that'll be a good series as well.
Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets. Follow Danny on Twitter at DannyBurke5. As he's out in the desert working for Brent Musburger, and good stuff. Daddy, we will run you down again next week, my friend. Thank you so much for jumping on, man, and enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Schmitty, and enjoy some good barbecue for me.
We are going to do that for sure. We are in Kansas City, the Chiefs Summit. We're down here at just an amazing Hotel Phillips, downtown Kansas City. And we'll hit some Chiefs thoughts next. Hail Varsity continues. Roadshow Friday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Email in from Pharmacist Jeff. You can email chris@hailvarsity.com. So Pharmacist Jeff's a diehard Donkey fan, and he is chastising me for being in Kansas City for Chiefs preseason. We're at the we're here at the Chiefs Summit. Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio. So, you know, Colton, I know you're an NFL fan, but I'm not quite sure who your squad is.
Washington.
I know you'll wear different lids. Who is your NFL team?
Washington.
That's right. You've told me that.
Unfortunately,
before.
A little bit, but
you know,
you get used to it.
You do. So questions and concerns, there aren't a lot for Chiefs fans. Let me tell you that. You've got, as they're called, the Chiefs Kingdom, just raving about Mahomes and how training camp has been going. So they had 6,000 Chiefs fans at training camp practice Wednesday, and it's full tilt, chips to the middle on Mahomes in year two. Where do you lean? Sophomore slump or more of the same with Mahomes? And when I say sophomore, you know, he kind of watched year one before the former quarterback and number one pick overall went to your Washington franchise only to get horrifically injured. I think Kansas City will be really, really good again. I don't know if they're going to be beyond 10 wins because of their schedule. I mean, first three of their first four are on the road again. The question is their defense going to be any better? We'll get to that in a moment. But they've got Sammy Watkins, so far so good with Hill from a legal standpoint, right? I mean, he's not being put in a timeout by the commish. Kansas City always seems to find someone to run the football. And they've got Kelsey, right? So I think Kansas City can continue to score about 35 a game on about anybody. And I think Mahomes is going to be better. I don't know statistically, but I think from a grasp and a studying standpoint, I think he's just going to shut it down as quickly as he caught fire last year. I think there were a lot of distractions that he juggled. And towards the end of the year when they kind of put themselves in position against New England, he did a great job of growing up. Not that he was aloof or anything, but I'm saying just locking in and being a pro. I think that expands tenfold this season. I think the Chiefs will be really good. I don't know that they'll be record-wise as good as last year, Colton.
Yeah, I'm kind of back and forth on this one because I would still say, at least for the AFC West, they're, of course, I would say the front runner for sure. And then as far as the AFC goes, I mean, we know who the front runner is every year, and whether you want to be happy about that or not, it's going to be the Patriots. But I don't know if they slump so much as just maybe not improve, because obviously they had a great season last year, so going up is going to be a lot harder than sliding. I don't think there's like so much a dip for Mahomes as much as just not quite as electric. I think people are probably going to watch just loads of tape. They know what he's possible or what he's capable of doing. Doesn't mean they'll be able to stop it, of course, but I don't want to say they don't have the same weapons because they'll figure that part out as preseason and the first couple games go. But I mean, with three of your first four on the road, if you drop one or two of those, I mean, you've already kind of dug yourself into a hole. So I think the Chiefs are squarely in the lead of the AFC West, but I don't know if that means 10 wins. I don't know if that means 12. I think they still get to double digits, but I don't think they're going to be in that 13 to 15 range.
They were so good last year with those wins, that win total. I mean, they had home field, and what killed Kansas City was penalties and just missed opportunities on defense, guys making plays, guys extending drives on third down, and think about that overtime and into the fourth quarter. Kansas City tied it. Then they went ahead. Then New England drove down to force overtime. And then every time I see the highlights, I mean, it's Gronk in the slot, slant route, really good coverage, better pass, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was unstoppable. And then Rexy getting into the end zone, and people are still sick about that. I think you're right, Colton. I think there's a high probability of, okay, watch this. We've studied Mahomes. We're going to throw this, and this at him. I think there's a lot by the time the postseason rolled around and by the time he squared off against Belichick's defense that there's probably not much he hasn't seen, and mm-hmm. I think he did a wonderful job of adjusting to it. So I think the way he's focused in gives, rightfully so, Chiefs fans a lot of hope for them to be great. But here's the thing. The Chiefs will go as far as Mahomes takes them on offense, but really it comes down to the defense. And are they going to be better at getting after the quarterback? You've got Frank Clark. You've got Chris Jones. They're really good. And from a secondary standpoint, I mean, you got Mo, and you got the Honey Badger back there. So Kansas City knew that what killed them last year was their defense, and specifically how bad they were on third down. They gave up 71 touchdown drives last season, and they were by far like top four worst in third down defense. That's got to change. Their defense got repeatedly beaten, and out of the 29 penalty extended drives, 22 of those were on third down. If you think about 29 times you had a drive extended by penalty in some part of a drive, 22 of those 29 flags were on third down for Kansas City. And that's just – that's gross if you're a Chiefs fan. So I think Kansas City's defense will be a little bit better. I mean, they blew out most of that staff. They blew out most of that roster on the defensive side of the ball. Just four guys return. And Mahomes will be good. Chiefs will be awesome. And they're going to be back into the postseason. Are they as – you know, are they as good as Indy, as Cleveland for real? I mean, there's a lot of questions this NFL season in the AFC. What's Pittsburgh got left? Are the Jets going to be much better with Le'Veon? I think the Colts are a team that looks good. I think Watson and the Texans and O'Brien look pretty nice. San Diego's really good. I think Denver could be all right as well with Flacco, and don't count Baltimore out either. Hail Varsity's on the road, so I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we're winding down hour one here on the road in Kansas City. The bad news, Bill Dolman's at a commercial shoot, which means he has had to bail on us. That makes me very sad. We may audible here. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour. So Greg Smith is going to be with us at 5:05. We'll do a recruiting recon with Mr. Greg of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We'll get his thoughts on some of fall camp. We're on the road today here in Kansas City, downtown Kansas City, not far from the Power and Light District. And we're staring out at the amazing skyline of Kansas City. We're here at the Kansas City Chiefs Summit. And what a time earlier with Mitch Holtis, learning some inside and out on Kansas City football for 2019. Great stuff and lots of hopes. I mean, you have this talent, this smile in a unbelievable quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. Where does Kansas City go for their encore, right? I mean, you're a stop away defensively. Several opportunities defensively to get off the field against Tom Brady and go to a Super Bowl. And can they repeat it, man? And I think offensively they are going to be dynamite. Defensively, where do they go? And they don't have to be great. They don't have to be top five good, but they can't be top five bad, right? And that's the question Chiefs fans got to ask themselves. You know, how good's good and how bad's bad going to be with this group. But I think they've taken a long, hard look at what's been going on. So let's keep with the NFL. We'll have more thoughts from Scott Frost as he addressed the media today after practice. We'll hit that at 5:25. But, you know, John Gruden right now is probably, oh, he's ready to go full metal jacket here on Antonio Brown. First you have this cryogenic freezing. And, you know, that therapy is useful. I mean, I know a couple folks who've tried it or would try it. So he gets frostbite with that. And now Antonio Brown has told the Raiders unless he can wear his old helmet, he will not play football again. So right now, you trade for Brown. These antics suck. Training camp's horrid. And listen, you're looking for reasons to just get out of it. Now he's throwing a tantrum about his old helmet. Don't know if it's superstition, but it's a 10-year-old helmet. And Brown had a 2-hour conference call with NFL officials. The NFL look, man, we've got new safety precautions. This new helmet is going to help you keep that brain between your ears healthy. We're paying out a ton of money for lawsuits and CTE and all of that good stuff. Hey, the NFL's trying to save themselves some money, clearly. But if you're Brown, this is a league mandate. The Raiders have been sending Brown other approved helmets to wear. He's not interested in wearing any of them. And he might need to put some sort of helmet on by the time Gruden gets done with his response, because you need your number one wideout working with your quarterback. And so far, Brown's had two instances, be it the frostbite and now the helmet issue. They didn't get to help Oakland come Sundays. Where can you trade? Can you get a bag of peanuts in the California Penal League? That's what they may trade Brown for at some point if he keeps wearing out his welcome. Great player, phenomenal talent, but he's a child. Hour two coming up. Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and Magazine Recruiting. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone on the road here in Kansas City ahead of Chiefs preseason football tomorrow against, former quarterback, if you're a Nebraska fan, Zach Taylor, and, Stanley Morgan, you know what? Going to be a good time at Arrowhead. Kickoff at 7, be down there. A weekend edition also tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., and we welcome in with HailVarsity.com and Magazine, recruiting analyst and football lover, Greg Smith with us. Greg, what do you know? How are you?
I'm pretty well, man. I'm ready for the weekend. How are things with you? Getting some good barbecue, I assume.
You know, I think we're going to maybe steakhouse it tonight, but okay. For sure barbecue it tomorrow. I'm staring at whatever the heck the tallest building in Kansas City is here out the hotel room, and it's fantastic. We're at the Hotel Phillips.
Oh, that's a great place.
Just yeah, dude. It's it's old, and I mean that respectfully. It's really cool. I mean, it's like I've stepped back in speakeasy times.
Yeah, it's an awesome place. We stay there for years now when we go to Kansas City. Actually, it's a small world.
Wow. So do I have the Greg Smith suite?
probably not. You'll get there one day.
I'm hoping. So question to you, is Nebraska getting there?
It looks like it. One of the things that, you know, it feels like it's almost cliche to talk about during fall camp, but it really is the truth. You can see a big difference. This team looks a lot better physically. They look more athletic, and they look like they have more depth. One of the things I was talking to Derek Peterson about earlier today, actually, was that when you start to look at the second and third teams on Nebraska now, and you think, man, I can't wait to see that guy, or I think that guy, you know, Javen Wright is going to develop well, or I think that Ty Robinson will be a guy to watch in the future. That second unit defensive line is very good. There's guys on the offensive line, running back. When you start to really tally that up, it means that things are heading in the right direction.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, the tallies are vast. We'll hear more from Coach Frost. And, Greg, we were talking with Vogues yesterday. I'm going to ask you this question. What position group do you feel best about for Nebraska, even after just a week? I mean, what position group do you think can lead this squad into meeting or exceeding some of the expectations?
Man, there's two and they're linked, but the first one that came to mind was defensive back. And it's so strange to say that coming off of last. Think about where we were this time last year with the defensive backs and what people thought about that unit, to fast forwarding to now, where the top four, well, the top five guys really are all guys that had some playing experience yesterday with maybe Jackson and Boodle at the corner, Cam Taylor in the mix, Markel Dismuke at safety, Deontay Williams at safety. Like, those guys all had experience last year. They've all taken to Travis Fisher's coaching. But then you also have got those young pups behind them that are battling for playing time, Quentin Newsome, Noah Pola-Gates, Miles Farmer, Javen Wright. So that's a good-looking group. But I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out the defensive line as well. That will also help the secondary out a lot, too. As though those groups are really, I think, strength of the team right now.
I think you're right, and that's a group that Coach Fisher was extremely high on. And you mentioned Farmer, and you mentioned, you know, Buddha, and those are just a couple of the guys. But these guys have come in, Greg, locked in mentally, but I think from a physical maturity standpoint, you've got guys that are long, big, athletic, and they can fly to the ball, but also they can hit, and they're playing pretty fast, even though they're just, you know, six practices in.
Yeah, this is. I think Travis Fisher described it as all of his guys that he added to his room look like they've seen a weight room before, right? And so that's always a good thing, especially when you're about to go meet Zach Duvall, right? But it's a competitive group, like the entire defensive back room. You can tell they have a lot of fun out there. It's a group that pushes each other, and they've got a real good brotherhood building within that group as well. It's a real chemistry. Like, it's real fun to see that develop, especially, again, like coming from where they were last season.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter is where you follow him. Greg, running back room, not a huge surprise with Coach Held reminding those fans out there that, you know, they've done nothing yet. That said, he's pretty real all the time with his excitement for a Ramir Johnson. Ronald Tompkins needs to get healthy, but man, he thinks he can be special. Mo's been doing all right, even with all that's been going on from a focus standpoint, it sounds like. And Dedrick Mills, man, no one has said a harsh thing about him. It almost feels like there's a bit of an at ease with what they got compared to even a year ago with maybe where the running backs room was at. I'm interested to get your take on Mills. Did you think it would be this smooth with him coming in?
No, I think that what's happened with the running backs, especially going, like, remember the storyline that this was in the spring, that all of these guys that you just named basically weren't here or limited, as in Maurice Washington's case, right? So you didn't know what you were going to get. I think things have gone, it seems like, about as well as they could have with this running back group. And of all of the things that have been said about Mills since he arrived here, I think that the thing that has perked my ears the most and caught my attention is all of the talk about his hard work and his work ethic, right? Because I think that that is something that was needed in that running back room, given how many young and experienced guys you had. You need someone to be able to come in and set the tone for what the work ethic and the standard needs to be in that room. I can't imagine a better fit than his work ethic and Ryan Hill's personality as a coach. So I think that'll be a really good marriage going forward at running back.
You know, Held's one of the top recruiters in the country, and what in your interactions with him and in your interactions with recruits that Held's had contact with, what is it about him and the kids? I mean, he's able to eye obvious talent, but he's also able to eye maybe under the radar talent and get them to Lincoln and eventually get some of them signed. How is he so good at what he does, in your opinion?
Ryan Held is probably the most passionate coach about Nebraska on that staff. Like, and whenever you talk to him about Nebraska and what Nebraska football is, and particularly what the running back tradition is at Nebraska, like you can't help but to get fired up just listening to him describe it and talk about it. So I can't imagine what that's like for a recruit that's 16, 17 years old being recruited by him, and a guy that was here and has played here as well, who's had a lot of success as a coach at different levels. Oh, by the way, he's a part of an explosive offense that's very running back friendly. Like, that comes up a lot when I talk to recruits, is not just that how good of a guy he is and how passionate he is, but also what he's trying to sell me I believe in. I believe that this offense has a track record of producing high-quality running backs that get to put up a lot of points and yards in college football. So you combine all of that, they've got something cooking at that running back position.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Greg, let's kind of gear up here. Recruiting Recon is out, hailvarsity.com. It's premium stuff, and it's worth your time and energy as a Nebraska fan to subscribe and catch up with Greg's work. Can do that, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. So as we gear up for the year here, Greg, what is kind of the outlook for Nebraska? Who are some of the prospects on your mind?
Yeah, so the thing is I think Nebraska is starting to trend towards really loading up those first handful of games for that they'll be able to host official visits. And there's a couple of guys. One, and I've talked a lot about tight ends this week. Donovan Johnson is a tight end out of Texas. I think it's Plano, so the Dallas area, that is scheduled to come out for an official visit that first week of the season. They've got a handful of defenders that are coming out for that Northern Illinois game as well, kind of highlighted by inside linebacker, four-star Devin Curtis. And then it'll all kind of build towards that Ohio State game, which I think as of right now has seven or so guys that I've got confirmed already that are looking to come out for an official visit for that game, including a couple of commits, Logan Smothers and Turner Corcoran. But also that's the game that Alabama linebacker commit Jackson Bratton is scheduled to come out for, so hopefully Nebraska can get him on campus and blow him away. Things are starting to line up as far as official visits, and Nebraska's kind of doing their work behind the scenes to get those guys locked in.
Greg Smith, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's talk running back Savion Morrison. He is going to announce here August 21st. What's the latest with him? Where's your gut tell you that things are at for him and Nebraska?
Yeah, great news for Nebraska this week, and him deciding to go ahead and make that announcement for his commitment on the 21st, because, you know, follow the visits, right? We always say that on this show. Nebraska was the only official visit that he's taken so far. He took the one to them for that second Friday Night Lights, if you remember, when they had a handful of official visitors. Missouri and Arkansas are in the picture, but he's taken unofficial visits there, but not official visits. So I think Nebraska stands in a really good position right now. He had talked a little bit about pushing that decision back before and going to maybe December or even February. I think the Huskers kind of got wind of that and kind of leaned on him a little bit to make that decision early because they do want him in this class, but I don't know that running back is a spot that Nebraska will ever have to be waiting around for guys to decide as long as this coaching staff is around.
You know, when you look at competition for running back, Greg, I mean, you just kind of eye what Oregon was able to do when Frost was there with Kelly and kind of that the inception of that Oregon offense, right? With the hybrid back they used, Frost is doing that here, but it's gonna pop. Not that it hasn't already, but I mean Nebraska is gonna carve out their own special kind of niche for using a guy like a Wandale or a Ramir, the blend of talents running and catching, and you'll see that, and you love the mismatch opportunity, right? The hybrid offensive weapon that can run it or throw it or catch it. And you know, Nebraska, like Oregon, we're talking back in, you know, 09, 2010, can separate itself. I mean, is that kind of the identity, in your opinion, when it comes to Nebraska and how they communicate with potential running back prospects? This is what can happen for you in this offense?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And I think that another part of it is it's different than when, say, Georgia or Alabama or some of those schools are recruiting running backs, and you don't get a lot of that versatility aspect. And so it's really just about the sheer amount of carries that you're going to get. Well, in this offense, and I think Morrison has said this to me before, is that it's not just about, you know, getting handoffs and running through the hole. It's also lining up in a slot. It's motioning. It's being able to use all of the offensive weapons so that we all can benefit from it. And guys are really receptive to that, because I think that finding multiple ways to get those guys to football, it makes more of them get on the field, and it's very exciting the offense to play in as well.
Greg Smith with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. Some recruiting recon on a Friday with Greg. Greg, what's coming up from you, bud? I'm staring at this Barrett Rood story. I can't wait to dive into. What can folks look forward from you this weekend here?
Yeah, so this weekend I've got a story coming about how competition, and we've heard a lot this week about competition, how it's increased. Troy Walter said that's the theme of camp, competition. But I've got a story on how that basically has all started with their recruiting evaluation and being able to land guys. Is that when you see the numbers, it's kind of impressive about how many young guys are already expected to contribute. And that's a hat tip to those guys. And then we'll do a little stock up, stock down report card as well on Sunday about names that are hot right now that you're hearing through fall camp.
I love that. Greg, I will tweet out a picture of what an incredible steak I will have tonight just to taunt you. And someday I will find the Greg Smith suite here at the Hotel Phillips, okay?
That's great, man. If you need a recommendation, go to Houston's. That place is great.
You say Houston's?
Yeah, Houston's. It's
money. Okay. I'm getting the sad head shake from the guy that's taken me. So.
Oh, yeah, it's pricey. Yeah. I definitely just hurt somebody's pocket. That's okay, though. Live
that's so funny. You go, yeah, it's pricey. I don't know if it's a review thing as to why Joe Papa's shaking his head or the review or the price. I'm unsure.
We'll find out soon.
Good enough, man. You have a good weekend. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, you too, man. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
There he is. That's Greg Smith, Hale Varsity Radio. Want to remind you, if you're moving in 2019, your friends at West Blue Realty can help make that happen. They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They'll help make this move a smooth one for you. And for a limited time, you mentioned Hale Varsity, West Blue Realty can provide you up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Give Tom Luby a shout at 402-540-3768 or call Kelly Hofschneider at 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue. Some more thoughts from Coach Frost next on Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Roadshow Friday. We're down in Kansas City near the Power and Light District. The Hotel Phillips is where we are at for the Chiefs Summit. Getting ready for Kansas City and Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, Seathan Carter, Stanley Morgan tomorrow as the Chiefs host Cincinnati. And a really cool time to hear and spend some time around the incredible play-by-play man Mitch Holtis earlier today, and we're here tonight, tomorrow morning for the weekend edition. And we'll let you know how things shake out with the Chiefs and Cincinnati Bengals after Saturday night when we get back to it. Nebraska and Coach Frost spending time today after a busy week for Nebraska's fall camp got rolling. Colton, let's pick things up, man. We spent some time talking defense. JoJo Doman back as he's nursing that injury and good to go in camp, which is good. Coach Frost spent time on the linebackers and the impact to Alex Davis. And tough and reckless was something that you got to balance, right? You're gonna build a tougher football team for 2019. That's needed, but you can't hurt anybody.
Right.
Let's spend a few minutes on the offense here from Coach Frost, as he had some thoughts here so far on the offensive performance here through six practices.
I think the offense has been doing a pretty good job. We had one day where we had a little rash of fumbles. Honestly, a few of them were after the whistle, and guys just keep trying to get balls out, which is what we want the defense working on. We haven't been careless with the ball, but there was one day where there was too many. And, that was the only thing that ever made Coach Osborne mad enough to say dadgum it was if we turned it over in practice. I might need to adopt that, but it's been pretty good on offense. I think some of the turnovers we had have just been really good plays by the defense, and that's great to see.
Dadgummit is that was the oh no, dude, T.O.'s gonna lose it on us if he uttered dadgummit. You flip it around, maybe that's something else that was uttered at some point with Barry Switzer and Sooner Magic. Maybe an F-bomb was dropped, I don't know. The urban legend is there were a couple assistants at Nebraska in the 70s and into the early 80s. They'd have a wager who was the first one to get Tom to swear. I'll let your imagination run wild as to the two coaches who bet each other and if they bet against or on one another, Pete Rose style. Now, I think you're going to get it done this year. Fumbles are brutal, and Nebraska's had their seasons where, man, they were just horrific. I think back to 1999 where he had a top defense and a offense that came along slowly but was really good. They fumbled 53 times that season, and three of them in particular cost Nebraska on the road at Austin against Texas. And it kept Nebraska out of a showdown with Florida State or Virginia Tech for a national championship. So that was Coach Frost on how the offense has been this week. One day of too many fumbles. Let's go to the quarterback room and Coach Frost, his impressions, his thoughts on what he's seen from the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think all the quarterbacks are doing a good job. We're vastly improved at that position from the number one guy all the way down the roster. It was a little depressing last year going into certain games with one, maybe two healthy quarterbacks. Noah's been doing really good things. He's throwing the ball as well as I've seen him throw it. Obviously, he's athletic and as familiar with our scheme as anybody. Luke's doing some really good things, throwing the ball really well, but also making a bunch of plays with his legs. And he's picked up the offense really fast. Bunchy has improved drastically. Matt Masker's making some good plays, so we're in a lot better place at that position. I wish the season would come down to a 4x1 relay with our quarterback group against everybody else. We got some guys in the line.
Colton, I got to ask you this, and you've got depth, you've got talent at quarterback, and God forbid something happens to number two.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Nebraska, do you ask McCaffrey to be kind of a Tebow-type red zone option? Not that Adrian can't handle it, but do you use McCaffrey in that way? Do you make sure that he's encased in glass so nothing can happen to him if he wins the number two job? If? Or do you let him go to work as an option at wide receiver? And I know that's been like shot down, but the guy's just a phenomenal football player and he's completely young. And he's making some great plays, it sounds like, with his feet, with his legs, and with his arm, like extending backyard football type. There's no way to defend that stuff. Put your headset on for a second, Colton. I would find a way to get him on the field and use him outside of a little Mac quarterback role. Mm-hmm. I would throw the football to him. I would get him in the slot. I'd let him be a playmaker that he is. I wouldn't want to just let him gather dust waiting to get in. But, yeah, use him at quarterback too if Nebraska gets up on an opponent. Or would you rather him just kind of watch and learn and not risk him getting injured? How would you handle the quarterback situation? I'd get him on the field and use him and let him go to work on some opponents.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opinion of somewhere in between because I think he's a guy.
You got four games at a minimum with him, right?
Exactly. So, I'm of the opinion that I think you try to get him onto the field if you can. But if you have some guys in the first two or three games emerge at receiver and you think you have a lot of good options, which I think you will find out pretty soon. I know you've heard a lot of names coming out of camp already and even summer workouts. So, I think he needs to get on the field somehow, but if they can keep him healthy and as an option at quarterback, I think you keep that redshirt if you have the option to, because you've got a great number two guy in Noah Vedral that knows the system really well, has run the system as a backup. And if you can keep a guy like McCaffrey healthier, that'd be great. But if you need him on the field in a receiver or not so much a running back, but maybe in the backfield kind of option, I think it's worth it. I mean, if you have to burn his red shirt, you burn it. But I think you see what you get out of him the first four games and kind of go from there.
Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio, Roadshow Friday. We are down here at the Chiefs Summit on the road at the beautiful Hotel Phillips. And it is gorgeous. Chiefs and Bengals preseason tomorrow night. We're talking some Nebraska spring, or I should say fall football. You've waited for this moment since the spring. You've gotten already a week of fall camp in. We're 3 weeks away from kickoff against South Alabama. All right, you just heard about the quarterback room from Frost and his first kind of time responding to questions today after practice. He set the table for expectations last Thursday when he met the media. Now he's had a chance to see a week's worth of work. How about those running backs? Here's Coach Frost.
I think the running backs have impressed me too. You never know what you're going to get with new guys. Dedrick Mills in particular has come in and just conducted himself like a pro. He's gone to work. He knows the offense better than I expected. Practices his butt off every day. Maurice is a step faster than he was last year, so he's doing some really good things. Wyatt Mazur is solid, and a bunch of the other guys are making plays. So I'm pleased with that group, and I think Ronald Tompkins is another guy that I think is really close to being getting some reps after his injury in high school. So we're moving in a good direction.
You know what? I'm not nervous about the running back spot. I think you clearly want, if things work out for Mo, you want Mo to be on the field and performing. If authorities deem that, no, dude, you need punishment, then so be it. But with Mills, you got to feel pretty good. And with Ramir Johnson, you have to feel all right. The guy I'm excited about, and I think the rest of the world's excited about, is Wandale Robinson. What can he bring? And he seems like one of those guys that gets it and is ready. And Piers would tell you that. You've heard good things about that young secondary. We talked with Greg Smith about that. But you've got a guy on the offensive side that's come in and ready to rock. Here's Coach Frost on the wide receivers and his thoughts today after practice.
Yeah, the receiver's another place I feel like we're night and day better than last year. JD is being JD. Andre Hunt is playing a lot better this year. Mike Williams is playing better. Woody's playing better. Wandale is starting to do some things that we expected him to be able to do when we got him. Darian Chase has shown up. A couple of the walk-ons are showing up. Peanut is doing some good things. Miles Jones is doing some good things. We just have way more guys that we can trust to when they're supposed to be, trust to get open. A lot more weapons for the quarterbacks. 7-on-7 looks different because we're stretching the field. Guys are running full speed. You know, we're getting to spots we couldn't get to last year. And that's not to even to mention Conabai, who has been a huge addition to us with just his experience and understanding and consistency. So Coach Walter's done a good job with that group. It's weird.
Last thought here from Coach Frost on versatility in the offensive scheme. Here's Coach Scott Frost.
You know, some of the versatility of those guys is going to help us. It's going to help us scheme. It's also going to help us, you know, defend against any potential nicks that happen to guys. If we get short in the backfield, there's a couple receivers like Miles and Wandale that can take carries. Those guys have looked really good in the backfield, too. Kind of the inverse of that, if we get a couple receivers hurt, Mo Washington and some guys can go out and they know the routes. The tight ends are also doing good enough. I feel like they're going to be a good, big enough threat in the pass game that we have to play more with two tight ends on the field. We're going to be fine. So just the depth at all those positions is going to help us from a scheme standpoint, also going to help us to protect ourselves against any potential injuries.
So Colton, after a week, you got to feel pretty good, right, based on what coaches have said?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like everything is on the upswing. And, I mean, they can still get better. That I think that's a given after a 1 week. But they are pleasantly surprised after a batch of summer workouts, it sounds like.
Yep, Colton's got a surprise for you next as we'll work through a roadshow Friday. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big Ten Buffet Time with Mr. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, how was Europe, brother?
Oh, man, it was an incredible trip. Second time I've been to London in the last 3 years, and it's just an awesome city. We added Amsterdam to the itinerary this year. And the biggest change was that we brought the kids with. They're old enough to make that overnight flight, first trip overseas, and it was a great way to end summer because, let's be honest, man, when training camp starts, I know the calendar says it's still summer, but for you, for me, for those of us who cover college football, this is officially the end of summer.
It is, and you might sneak in a little golf when time permits.
Yeah, but probably. I think that's fair.
It's going to be here before you know it. Nebraska will be kicking off against South Alabama. I know the Big Ten bus tour has commenced in Columbus today, and I want to start with just some thoughts on Nebraska, and it was great to see it. Big Ten Media Days. Thanks for the time that you gave to stop and chat, and I mean, clearly the story for Nebraska was Adrian Martinez, and just a number of coaches wowed by his ability and the fact that when you're being coached by Scott Frost and Mario Verduzco, that talent will get better. So you have coaches like Brohm and Fitz and Ferentz all going, man, they aren't anxious to see what this kid can be, but there's a lot of props, Rick, being thrown at Nebraska's way. And it sounds to me, and this goes back to last week with Coach Frost and the initial press conference of the year, that theme is Nebraska's got to earn it. I don't think Nebraska fans would have it any other way.
No, I think that's totally fair, and that's certainly Scott's personality. I think one thing, Chris, that has stood out to me is more often than not, coaches try to protect their quarterbacks, especially their quarterbacks who had outstanding freshman seasons and who face the kind of expectations that Adrian Martinez is going to face this year. With the talent that he has comes great responsibility. I'm fascinated by the fact that neither he nor his head coach is backing off that. As a matter of fact, if anything, they are willing to increase the pressure. You heard what Scott said about Adrian during Big Ten Media Days. He said he can be as good as anybody I've ever coached or anybody I've ever perhaps seen at that position. I mean, those are some strong words. And sure, Adrian is grounded, but you have to hear that from your head coach. And that tells me that Scott is ultimately confident in Adrian's ability to compartmentalize and still perform at the level that he has performed at. And if that ends up being the case, I got to tell you, not only do I agree with Scott as far as Adrian's ability on the field is concerned, but obviously then he is showing the kind of mental capacity that you need to be a great quarterback and a championship quarterback at a Power 5 school.
Do you think the praise and the kind of the let's go Oppo here instead of the protection, let's increase the pressure? Scott knows it and he lived it, and by the way, had to follow up Tommy Frazier. So he gets it uniquely compared to most of the world. Do you think his confidence level in his quarterback is based on the physical, or is it more the mental?
I think it's more the mental. I truly do, because I think that Scott has probably been around quarterbacks, whether it was Mackenzie Milton, whether it was quarterbacks at Oregon, who had equal ability. I mean, there have been some really good guys who have come through. And now I'm talking about when he was an assistant, obviously, out west in Eugene as well. I mean, we had Heisman Trophy winners. We had quarterbacks who were lighting it up. And obviously the things that he coached with Milton and quarterbacks at UCF. But I think that Scott would not be willing to do this unless he truly believed that Adrian could handle it 100%. And I'm still surprised, though, Chris. And the reason I say that is because he's only a rising true sophomore. I mean, this is only year number two on campus, you know. You do this with seniors. You do this with guys who you say, our team rides behind you. Scott knows this team will win or lose, and he has said as much based on how Adrian Martinez plays, and he is not afraid to heap that kind of pressure on a young man. That tells me that he has all the mental faith in Adrian Martinez that any coach could ever possibly have in their quarterback.
There are 21 other starters that need to help out Adrian, and ideally you've got a group of 22 starters on defense, right, with the various packages and depth and situational guys. Let's take Adrian off the table, Rick. Based on media days and based on the early days of camp, I got a list here, and I want you to circle one that is the bigger question or the biggest question mark for you. Is it Nebraska's pass rush? Is it the rush D? Is it the turnovers forced, right? The philosophy of this defense is to get the football back for the offense. Linebacker depth isn't super deep right now. That's defensive side of the ball. Wide receiver crew, you have JD and a freshman named Wandale that people are raving about, still a freshman. O-line's got a question mark or two. And then, of course, there is no Ziggy to run the football for Nebraska this year.
Yeah, I think I'll give you one on each side of the ball, and it's the running back position to me, because Adrian will need some help. Mm-hmm. He will put up huge numbers this year, but you are going to need help. And I think when Nebraska was at its best last year was when you had that combination. Any defensive coordinator will tell you, if you have a dual threat at quarterback who can then hand the ball off to a dangerous running back, it makes that quarterback almost unguardable. It makes it almost impossible to prepare a game plan for that style of offense, especially when the offense is prepared right, and clearly Scott Frost knows how to prepare that kind of offense. If you don't have a running back, then that spy or that Mike linebacker, whoever it is that is keeping an eye on the quarterback, is always going to lean in that RPO or in the handoff keep toward the quarterback, because he knows that the quarterback is going to be the default ball carrier. You have a running back that can solve that problem, then you become multiple and much more dangerous offensively. Defensively, it's not a position. Defensively, to me, it is about turnover margin, because you are going to give up big-time points when you are playing that style of offense. They gave up big-time points at UCF and won. Nebraska won a lot of games in giving up points. So this is what is going to have to happen this year. You are going to have one or two quick change turnovers, turnovers in the opponent's side of the field to allow your offense right back on the field to score. Because you're going to give up points. The defense is going to be gassed. They do not have the full recruiting complement of defensive players that Scott Frost and Shenander would like, not yet. And so, just like Indiana a couple of years ago, Indiana's biggest step forward in the East, and the reason that they almost knocked off a couple of top 25 teams, was because they were among the Big Ten's best in turnover differential. the next year, almost the exact same roster, very similar schedule. They struggled getting turnovers, and that offense was not nearly effective. That's where Nebraska has to make a difference this year, is forcing turnovers on defense and make sure that at the end of the year, your turnover differential is big time in the positive column.
Rick Pizzo is with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo. That is good stuff. Rick, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few today, bud.
Chris, my pleasure as always, buddy. Take care.
Little Big Ten Buffet rewind with Rick Pizzo as we talked to him earlier this week, get his thoughts on Nebraska, because we hadn't talked to him for a little while, so we had to pick his brain a little bit. Big thanks to Greg Smith for recruiting Recon earlier this hour, and big thanks to Danny Burke. Out in the Desert, Best Bets with Danny Burke. You can find those on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter, as well as the SoundCloud Bites on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter and Hail Varsity as well. We will wind down a Friday next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Time to tell you about West Blue Realty. The good folks at West Blue can make this move in 2019 painless. And the real estate professionals are waiting for your phone call today, as West Blue Realty specializes in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities, and they'll make that thing smooth for you. Can be painless with West Blue Realty for a limited time. Mention Hail Varsity, and West Blue Realty will provide you up to $1,000 in the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby, Kelly Hofschneider, they are phenomenal. Give Tom Luby a ring today at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hofschneider, 402-202-2312. And it pays to work with West Blue. And special consideration when you mention Hail Varsity, 233 South 13th, 11th floor, westbluerealty.com. What can West Blue do for you?
Big thanks once again to Greg Smith, Recruiting Recon with Greg Smith, Danny Burke, Best Bets with him out in the desert, the Pride of Chicago, and a little rewind with Rick Pizzo as we got caught up with him for a Big Ten Buffet earlier this week. This on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at @Schmidt_radio. He's down in Kansas City for a road show today, tomorrow, as they get geared up for a preseason game with the Cincinnati Bengals and your former Husker quarterback, Zach Taylor. But this from Twitter, Wyatt Gibson tweets in, can Wandale Wildcat become a new red zone formation? As Schmidt and I were talking about, what do you do with Luke McCaffrey? Do you find a way to get him on the field? Do you find a way to use him in the offense in a different formation? Is it just in the red zone? And as far as Wandale goes, I mean, as a Wildcat, he's probably a little small just because he's kind of in that 5'9", 5'10 range, more of your kind of slot receiver and a speed back. However, that could work out in the advantage of the Huskers, because who would expect Wandale to be getting the snap? Now, I would say more, instead of a Wildcat formation, maybe a direct snap kind of deal, where you still do have a true quarterback out on the field in case it were to hit the fan. But that's an interesting look at it, Wyatt, because who knows what tricks Scott Frost may have up his sleeve. Of course, the goal of a Scott Frost offense is to not have tendencies and not have anything that the opposing defenses can pick up on. So if that means Wandale's your quarterback for two plays inside the 10-yard line, if that means he's getting a direct snap with Martinez or McCaffrey or Vedrill next to him, if that means you're lining up Adrian Martinez at wide receiver, I think that could work given the correct situation and scenario. But I think that's purely what it is. It'll be situational. But those are things they'll probably figure out here in fall camp, some different mix-ups and things they can do, formations and situations where they can use this load of talent, because we know who some of the names are. We know some of the guys. It's just a matter of how do they get them on the field and how do they use them in the most effective ways, because these guys will need to see the field to improve and get that experience. And I'm in the boat that if you can get a guy on the field that is going to help you win ball games and score points, that's what you got to do. So if that means Wandale's your quarterback inside the 10-yard line here and there, I say do it. So for Hail Varsity Radio, I'm Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. We are back tomorrow, 7 a.m., as Schmidt will be live from Kansas City. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.